Good afternoon. I'm Mike Duff from Homepage News. I'm a contributing editor. I'm also your host and want to say hello. Hope you had a good lunch and are enjoying the show so far. This session will be recorded, so if you want to come back to it at a future time, it'll be on the IHA website. And, you know, we want to, our guests here, John LeBron and Bo Euler, and Pattern is a company that helps people accelerate what they're doing with e-commerce, which today is more probably important than any other facet of retail for people who really want to get that growth going. So without further ado, they know more about it than I do. Please welcome these gentlemen.
All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us. I was afraid my mom would be the only one in the audience today, and it looks like some of my brothers and sisters showed up too, so I appreciate you guys coming here today. We are very excited to talk about a topic that is incredibly exciting, and we're passionate about it. So global e-commerce and
as well as just building brands, right? So creating
and accelerating unicorn brands is what we're going to be talking about today. We've got a lot to cover, and we're going to be hopping through. So if anyone wants to see the slides afterwards, or if you want to come down and chat with us afterwards, we can get through that as well. At a very high level, though, my name is John LeBaron. I'm the Chief Revenue Officer at Pattern. Pattern is an e-commerce accelerator and marketplace accelerator. And what that means is that brands come to work with us to accelerate what they're doing globally on e-commerce. And so we buy their inventory, and then we take, basically, they ship on big pallets of their product to us, and we take care of accelerating their brands throughout all the world. We have 20 global offices, and we'll do about $1 billion in revenue this year, which means we'll be buying, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars of product from about 120 different brands all around the world. So we're gonna be going through these topics, but before I get into it, wanted to have Bo introduce himself as well.
Cool, thanks, John. So I'm Bo Euler. I'm founder and chief design officer of Enlisted Design. We're a Bay Area design agency with offices in Oakland, California, and Salt Lake City, Utah. We joined the Pattern team so that we could bring design to their partners and bring data to our partners. And I'll walk you through a little bit of what that means and what that looks like.
Great. So, because we kind of have a relatively small audience, I'd love to be able to kind of just kind of go around the room and get a sense of who's here and who we'll be talking to. So if you are a brand or you represent a brand, and maybe you have a booth here or something like that, raise your hand. Okay, good chunk. If you're like a service provider, and maybe Pattern or a buyer or a retailer, maybe raise your hand. Okay, good. And then Mom, maybe just raise your hand too. Yeah, that's good. That's my mom. Anyway, okay, so cool. So what is a unicorn? We're going to be going through that in a second. I guess we have some level of authority because Pattern is a unicorn. We ourselves are a unicorn. So a unicorn is a privately held company that's, you know, reaches basically a valuation of over $1 billion before they go public or before they are sold. And so recently Pattern was recognized as what we call a double unicorn, I guess, $2 billion. And that might be super exciting. You might be like, oh, wow, that's crazy. How did you get to $1 billion? That must feel good. It does feel good. But honestly, it's more of a function of us playing in a very fast-growing and very critical piece to general pillars of the economy as a whole. So just for some context, the global e-commerce market is about $6 trillion this year. And, you know, so air fryers alone, I think, are over $1 billion in sales, including e-commerce as well as, you know, offline channels. So really, we have a very long way to go, and this is why we're so excited and so passionate about what we do. We think there's a lot to go by even beyond this. So this is what we do. And here are some examples of billion-dollar and multi-billion-dollar types of companies. Many of these brands, in fact, I think all of them between the two of us, I've worked with these different brands. So anything to add to,
to just,
this here?
I mean, there's all different levels of partners that we work with, and these are examples of companies that have achieved that, you know, unicorn status. And like what we're gonna articulate today is how to create a brand that's capable of becoming a unicorn, and then how to take that brand and accelerate it in e-commerce and omni so that it can then have the business side of a unicorn brand.
Amazing.
Okay, so I think I'll have you kind of come through and give a little bit more of this, but this is exactly what Bo was talking about, right? How do you create the brand? What are the competencies required? So the things you'll be hearing for and be listening for, especially if you are a brand or an entrepreneur starting a brand, is what are the things I have in place today? What are those competencies? And where do I need to go look for competencies or build competencies in-house to be able to both create that unicorn brand and then ultimately accelerate it?
And as a disclaimer, I would say that the five key competencies that we're gonna share with you to both create and accelerate, there are more competencies needed, but we're gonna focus on kind of five on both the creation side and the acceleration side. So let me give you a little bit of background on Enlisted Design. So we create brands and product experiences for some of the coolest brands in the world. And I'll walk you through some case studies of what that looks like and how we do that. Fastco named us Design Company of the Year finalist a couple of years ago. That was exciting. We were number two to Nike. I'm totally cool being number two to Nike. Fine with me. Here's a few examples of some of the different, not only the brands that we work with, but some of the brands that we've created from scratch, as well as come in and help to redesign or go into a new category. So you can see everything from like a Samsung, you know, massive multi-billion dollar company out of Korea. So we work with them with their innovation team to answer questions like, how does Samsung own the VR category? And so we'll then go in, do the research, understand the consumer, and create a whole suite of products that enable them to go into VR, right? Or Fruit Smash, New Belgium Brewing, microbrewery out of Chicago here, reached out and said, hey, we want to go into the hard seltzer category. Help us to create a strategy, a brand, and all the packaging to be able to launch into that category. So just a few examples. So let me cover this first of all. I think it's probably good. There's so many definitions of what a brand is. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what it is and what are the elements that kind of make up that brand. So first of all, a brand is the manifestation of a company, a product, or a person. And I'm going to walk you through case studies of both a company, a product, and a person, and how those manifest its brand. There's so many different touch points, and we'll dive a little bit deeper into that the consumer is going to interact with the brand. And when it's done right, it creates this cohesive brand experience. So when every single one of those touch points comes together, speaks the same language, feels, you know, has the same vibe, has the same content and messaging and design language, then it's always leading into this, you know, central brand and building that brand. So one more click, John. So if we have the brand at the center in creating these, you know, unicorn brands, one more, there's so many different touch points. And there's so many more than just this. These are just the ones that Enlisted creates, right? But you've got the social media. You've got the advertising side of it. You've got your website, marketing, the visual design, photography. You've got the products themselves. Like, every single one of those are a touch point. And so understanding how this user is going to go through the journey of interacting with this brand, you want to make sure that each of those are speaking to and laddering up to building that core brand. All right, so unicorns. What you're going to see here on the bottom is kind of the five key competencies of the Enlisted side, and then on the top you're going to see the five key competencies of the Pattern side. So in creating this unicorn brand, it all starts with data. It all starts with consumer insights and understanding what this consumer wants. You know, what do they need? What are their problems, their pain points? And then ultimately, how do you create something lustful to that consumer, something that's going to be worth it to them to bring into their life? So what I'm going to walk you through is data insights, the strategy, the brand, the product, the packaging. And then when we hand that off to a partner like Pattern, who then can take that and accelerate that in e-commerce or omnichannel, then they're going to go through and kind of enable or make use of that data, the traffic, the content, the brand protection, and ultimately manage all of the logistics, right? Because like, I can build the greatest brand in the world, but unless I have a platform to launch that into, no consumer's ever going to know about it. So they're equally important. One of my mentors, Bob Bruner, he was the previous chief of design at Apple before Johnny Ive. He said, years ago, the heroes were technologists. Today, the heroes are designers. You can have the most amazing technology in the world, but if it's not put in a form that's useful and desirable, you simply won't be successful. And we see hundreds and hundreds of examples of that on the floor at IHA, right? I love walking the floor. I've come to the show for 10, 15 years. And you walk through and you ask yourself the question, like, why do certain consumers want certain products and certain brands? And you see these companies come to IHA and they'll start with a 10-foot booth and then they'll be in a 40-foot booth before you know it. Well, what is it that made that brand and that product line so magical that consumers are buying it? And the reason is because the designers and the marketing team have created an emotional connection between the brand, the product line, and the consumer. And realistically, we should have no emotional connection to the inanimate objects in our life. And yet we do. And we make purchase decisions every single day based on the emotion and the emotional connection or the emotional appeal to a certain product. So what is it that creates this emotion, this desirability in brands and products and experiences, you know, brand experiences that consumers are going to lust after? When you look at brands like this, like, what is it that makes them shine? And so as I go through these and go through each of the five competencies, I want you to keep in mind, and as you go through your own brand creation or brand revitalization or innovation process, I want you to think of these five steps to understanding the consumer and creating that emotional connection. Number one, assume absolutely nothing. Number two, seek to understand, speak to consumers. Understand what their life and what their world and what their home is like. If you're creating a kitchen countertop product, you need to know what that kitchen is like and what's aspirational to that consumer. So you observe, you empathize, you mine data to understand what's happening on e-commerce. We have billions of touch points of data that we can mine in e-commerce. And that's one of the benefits of joining Pattern is that we now can harness all of that data. Being one of the largest e-commerce platforms or resellers in the world on Amazon, we're able to take that data and plug it into our consumer insights to be able to create the right product experience for those consumers. And we synthesize that through design. So I'm going to flash through a few different examples. I put this in. This is work that's work in progress. So this is a project that we're doing right now for one of the largest housewares, appliances companies in the world. And I've gone ahead and Photoshopped all of the logos out so that you don't know who it's for. But if you're thinking of who it is, you're probably right. And so what we've done here is we really first started with the consumer. Go ahead, John. And understanding exactly what these kind of core consumers, what their a day in the life of, or their shopping experience, or their cooking habits, and being in their homes, being on shop-alongs with them, and understanding how they're going to bring food into their home, when and why and how they're going to cook that food. And so this project in particular is a storage program, so AKA a refrigerator. So you can just kind of flash through some of this. This is that, the data insights and the consumer insights piece that I talked about as the first competency. So then we get all this data and we start to synthesize that and we begin to create concepts or we create solutions, okay? And these can be, a smart tab that keeps track of the health of your food. It can be different micro storage compartments. And you just flash through these really quick, right? Different types of control and micro storage compartments within the freezer or within the fridge, so giving versatility. One of the big pain points that we found with these consumers is that they want versatility in their fridge. They want micro compartments that can do specific things for their food, for their makeup, for their drinks and beverages, right? So there's all these use cases that we need to design around so that we can meet those needs. And then ultimately, begin to create a design language that, yes, the fridge, which is a modular fridge, has its form factor and its color material finish and its design, and then how do we extend that into every other appliance or every other product that this company is going to produce within this line? So then a juicer, right? So similar color material finish. So here's what we call a vision board showing kind of the world in which this product is going to live, making sure that once we've designed it, it's up to par with what that vision was. Some of the sketches that got us there, tons and tons of prototypes to understand form factor and usability, right? And then, part of it is function, part of it is how's this product used, how's the digital experience of this product, and then ultimately, this project in particular answers the question, is it going to be worthy of my countertop? And that's one of the biggest challenges that we face when we're launching a product is it going to be worthy of being adopted into somebody's life? Is it going to be worthy of staying on the countertop rather than like you know, pushing it under into a cupboard and hiding it? Is it going to be worthy of advocating for this product or this brand to a friend? And when we win there, then it really begins to grow naturally, and that's when we get our, you know, our organic brand awareness. All right, so that's one example, and let me walk you through a couple of others. Who knows who this guy is? Raise your hand if you know who Mr. Beast is. All right, we've got a couple people in their 20s. Very good. Very good. So if you know who Mr. Beast is, go ahead. He's the number two YouTube content creator in the world. He has almost 100 million followers, subscribers. He's got like, I don't know, 20 million on Instagram. He's 23 years old. His name's Jimmy. And when Jimmy and his team called us, they said, hey, we've got a couple of ideas of how we could harness the power of Jimmy's brand, Mr. Beast, to launch products into different categories. Great, cool, where do we go from here? So concept number one, in going through kind of this process, the insight was, here we are, the beginning of COVID, restaurants are shutting down, nobody's going out to eat, but the restaurants are still capable of making food. And so they started partnering with ghost kitchens, kitchens that were fully functioning and could make Mr. Beast recipes and then deliver them to high school, to college, to work, to home, to wherever. And now all of a sudden, you're meeting the consumer's need by, you know, bringing them food, and you're also delivering kind of a piece of your brand to them every time. And so each of the touch points of Mr. Beast Burger, it feels like Mr. Beast. And so as we flash through these, you know, everything from the packaging to the iconography to the illustrations, it's all speaking to this exact consumer, this Gen Z consumer. And this is the very first restaurant or food concept, restaurant concept that is targeted really only to Gen Z. And so when you think about, you know, all the big guys, the big chains, the McDonald's, the world, whatever, they're like, oh, how do we capture the millennial shopper, right, or consumer? Like, that's so, we're so beyond that now, because now it's really understanding this Gen Z consumer and how we can speak their language in the way that, that is going to resonate with them and create that emotional connection. So, competency number three, the brand experience. How do we make sure that we're uniquely Mr. Beast and that every single one of these touch points, from the web to the app to the packaging to the product itself, is all going to feel like Beast? You know, that manifests itself in the name of the products, right? I want it Beast style. I want Carl's grilled cheese. Well, anybody who's watched Jimmy's videos, like, you know, Carl's always like right next to him and Chandler's on the other side. And so it's like, okay, well, let's use the crew that's already there and start to name the products by them so that we're once again creating that tie between the physical product and the experience. So brand guidelines so that everything was cohesive, because we didn't do all of the work. We created the brand and then launched it through a couple other companies. So that's Mr. Beast Burger. Then we tackled Mr. Beast Bar, which is a chocolate bar. Part of Jimmy's thing is sharing. And so when we started the industrial design of a chocolate bar, which we had never designed a chocolate bar before, we had this idea of being able to snap the bar. One more. There we go. We had this idea that, because like part of Jimmy's thing is that he does these giveaways, so he'll give away an island or a Tesla or $10 million or whatever, and so we're like, oh, on the bar itself, because that's part of his brand ethos is sharing, let's have part of the bar like to devour yourself, and then part of it almost this like this prompt to share. So you can see on the next page, right, so the vast majority of the bar is devour and the rest of it is to share. So it's prompting to be part of kind of Jimmy's lifestyle of sharing everything. And in that vein, I've got one Mr. Beast bar. These are kind of rare, they sold out pretty quick. So I think everybody who knows product knows what an MOQ is, minimum order quantity, right? So when we started talking to the Peruvian chocolatier for making these bars, we wanted it all fair trade, all organic, and we wanted to produce it in a place that would be sustainable and help the community there. And so they said, hey, just so you know, like our MOQ is 2,000 chocolate bars. And to which Jimmy's team responded, okay, our first order will be 1 million bars. Can you do that? And they're like, we'll try. And so they did. And they sold out very quickly. So the first question after we're done gets a Mr. Beast bar. All right, you just fly through this. So this is that launch part, right? Like once we've created the brand, all the packaging of the product, now we're creating these launch assets to go out and go through social, through marketing campaigns, through e-commerce for sure, and then certainly through Jimmy's channel. All right, so next case, Allbirds. Anybody know what Allbirds is? It's a shoe company. Cool, sustainable shoe company out of San Francisco. Been working with them for a few years. We create their VIP packaging. So when they launch a new product, they'll create 1,000 SKUs that are very special, that are targeted toward influencers, celebrities, athletes, people that are essentially going to, you know, advocate for this brand. So we create the VIP packaging. The insight here was that people wanted better products and better packaging that didn't destroy the planet. And so, long story short, we created the most sustainable footwear packaging ever. It's a fully compostable package made of sugar cane. Nobody had ever done this before. And so this wasn't just a brand piece. This wasn't just an industrial design product piece. This was also a manufacturing collaboration to work with a vendor, a print vendor, a manufacturer who was going to do something that had simply never been done before, which for us as creators is really exciting. So in the end, what we did is we created this, this bucket that could fit shoes from size 5 to size 15 in one unit, one bucket that could be shipped direct to consumer, and then be able to compost, not just in an industrial facility, but compost within somebody's compost bin or backyard within 90 days. And we accomplished it. And it's won every design award that's out there. It was best of the best with Red Dot. And it's been pretty exciting. And what's really cool about the technology as we dove into this, I think this is a video,
yeah,
if you click through. So what this is, go ahead and play it, John. Yeah, yeah. So what he's doing there is they've taken sugarcane, and they've harvested the sugarcane for the sugar itself. And then the husk that's taken off is a byproduct. It's just waste. It has nothing to do with it. So what we did is we took the husk and we heated it up and separated it from the sap in the husk. And then turned that into a pulp, added the sap back in as an adhesive to keep the product together, and then figured out a way that we could kind of vacuum mold these containers. And so using 100% bagasse, which is sugarcane, and then adding all vegetable dye to get the branded black Allbirds experience, we were able to launch that. It was a pretty cool process. And it's won every, like I said, every design award. This one's my favorite. Here, go back one. This is Kerry Washington, the actress. She's rad. She posted on her Instagram feed, she was supposed to post about the shoes, and she ended up just posting about the packaging because she was so excited about it. So pretty fun experience. Oftentimes when we do this design process right, it rewards by building the company, but also by having these just organic moments of advocacy from consumers. All right, the last one that I'll share with you is a product specific. It's a company called Arlo. Anybody heard of Arlo? Anybody have Arlo in your home? All right, excellent. Cool. So we've worked with Arlo for the last 10 years. This started as kind of a Skunkworks project out of Netgear, the Wi-Fi company. And they came to us with a chipset and said, hey, we want to create kind of like a communicator type security system. And we're like, okay, that sounds cool. How do we approach this? And so what we found is that consumers, as we started speaking with consumers in their homes, consumers wanted to know what was going on in their home, who's going in, who's going out. And what we realized, it was more about communication than it was about security. Consumers weren't as worried about, hey, I want everything locked up, super, super secure. It's more, I want the understanding of what's happening both inside and outside my home so that I can act on it myself. So what we did is we created a design language, okay, what we call a VDL, a visual design language, that could be cohesive across every single one of their products. So that any time that you see an Arlo product, even if it didn't have the logo on it, you would know that it's an Arlo product. So as of today, we've got 37 products in the Arlo portfolio. They had the largest IoT IPO in history at a $1.4 billion valuation. It's been a very exciting path together as they've really dominated this category, right? So there's a perfect example of that. All of these products are very different, okay? But as you look at them, they all have this cohesive visual design language so that each time the consumer interacts with it or sees it in someone else's house, they know that it's Arlo. It's building their brand. So once this brand has been built and it's ready to launch across all of those multiple kind of brand touch points or marketing touch points that we talked about at the beginning, we have to be able to partner that brand with an e-commerce platform with an omni-channel, a retail platform that will go and take that brand and that product and get it into consumers' homes. Because without that, we completely miss the mark. So there's two parts here, right? There's the launch, and then there's the landing. And as we've seen many, many times, the launch can happen, right? But the landing is the most difficult part. So once I've created that brand, how do I then plug it into a platform like Pattern to be able to take those, that emotional connection, that product, that brand, and accelerate it online to actually get it into people's lives? Over to you, John.
All right. Well, that's always exciting. It's always hard to follow Bo because he's so exciting and there's so many cool things that his company is doing. And we're just like the nerdy math people, so it's not as sexy, but it's the job that we love doing, so it's great. This is really where design and data meet, and I would echo what Bo said. I mean, we have a lot of people come to, ask to kind of work with us because they're exactly in the shoes that Bo just talked about where they've developed a great product and now they're ready to take it to market. Unfortunately, there are a lot of brands that we choose not to work with, and it really is because we don't think they've nailed the launch even, and the guts of it. Just to give you an example, we may have a brand come to us like a supplement or something like that, and we go look at their initial reviews online, and they might be like 3.5 stars. And we generally go back to them and say, hey, I don't think you have a marketing problem or a sales problem. You kind of have a customer delight or product quality type of issue that you need to go figure out. Because if you nail the launch, you have very good product satisfaction. You have very good product quality and customer satisfaction. But you're just missing that point of, to Bo's point, being able to get it into the hands and stick the landing, get it in the hands of customers. And that's exactly what Pattern does. We are an accelerator. So we help accelerate brands. And there are major 5 competencies. And again, brands have a hard time doing this themselves. A lot of brands we talk to are great engineers. They're great innovators around product. They're really good around, even the retail aspect of it, right? And taking it to market that way. But there's a lot of complexity and a lot of innovation required in getting products into the hands of consumers from an e-commerce perspective. And especially marketplaces. Amazon has absolutely upended the industry over the last 10, 15 years around product, right? 63% of all product searches now start on Amazon in the US. That's more than Google, right? So people don't even look on Google for products anymore. They just pull out their phone, open it up on Amazon, and get a sense of what it's like. And many of these brands actually grown pretty quickly, but they're not necessarily growing profitably. So what Pattern does is we help brands grow profitably and get control of their stuff online. And this starts, to Bo's earlier point, starts with data. It starts with insights. So primarily, Pattern, even though we buy inventory, even though we're kind of like a pseudo distributor and retailer, we truly are a data company. Our CEO started his career and spent 15 years in data science and in data management and information management. And that's really the heart of kind of what we do. So the very first, and when I talk about data, I'm not talking about NPD or I'm not talking about, some like subscription feed. We are going out ourselves and scraping 5.5 billion rows of data every single month across 4,000 websites. That data is then aggregated and giving us a very clear picture on about 300 million different products. Those 300 million products sit across basically 65,000 product categories. And we're actively monitoring more than 3 million keywords every single day across those 300 million products and across those 65,000 different categories. So what that does is that gives us a very clear picture of trends that are happening. And because Amazon is, the number one product search engine in the world at this point, that's where that data really kind of comes into play. Okay, so that's a bunch of nerdery, that's a bunch of big numbers that, maybe are hard to kind of get a grasp. So maybe you go to the next slide. What that looks like is if you were a Pattern partner and you kind of especially were maybe in the stages of what Bo was talking about earlier and you said, are facial masks a good category? Well, there is going to be some good stuff. You could Google, you could kind of find out around. But at the end of the day, the answer is yes. It's an unequivocal yes. This would be a great category to go launch a product. Why? Well, we'd be able to tell you that there are 12.5 million monthly searches right now in this category. We would tell you that the average star rating for products in this category is a 4.2, which might sound pretty good, but there are some categories that have a 4.8. You would also know that the average star number of reviews to be able to rank in this category is sitting around 111, which is, again, very low. There are some product categories, like air fryers, you would have to have like 19,000 reviews to even kind of like get in the game. So it's a very penetrable category. If you look at the HHI index, which is a function of competitiveness in a given category, facial masks actually ranks quite low. It's a fragmented industry. It's not held, you know, it's not like you're going to go try to sell baking soda and, you know, dethrone or baking powder or something like that and dethrone or bleach and dethrone Clorox. This is a very penetrable category with good momentum. It's growing at 115% a year right now. And so that's the sort of data we sit on top of that informs, first and foremost, what is the ability to truly accelerate. If you are in a category that is shrinking 30% a year, your only ability to kind of accelerate is to steal share from competitors. And that can also work, but it's just a different mountain to kind of climb. Okay, so the next competency is around traffic. There is this equation which you'll see play out in a second. Traffic times conversion times price equals revenue. If you can solve for traffic without changing any other variable in the equation, your revenue will grow. When I talk about traffic, it's SEO, it's keyword research, it's targeted advertising, it's automated bidding, and it's something we call product destiny. This is a patent-pending innovation that Pattern came up with. It pioneered it. At a very simplistic level, and I'll try not to go off the deep end because we totally geek out about this stuff.
I think they can handle it.
If you have a product, if you go walk the floor out there and you look at any given product, the question that's going to come into your mind or could come into your mind is, truly, if given the right, you know, route to market and go-to-market strategy and advertising and all this other stuff, if given its day in the sun, so to speak, what is the possibility? What is the potential? What is the destiny of this product? And that's what we seek to understand by triangulating all the data we have across these 300 million products. We seek to understand what is the destiny of that product. Because in theory, if you can then marshal your resources and get to that destiny of the product, you're gonna be amazing. And that's actually at the point which you should like sell the company and move on because it's reached its pinnacle. Spoiler alert, you never get to destiny, but it's a very good benchmark and mile marker to be able to kind of grow into and manipulate all the different levers that allow you to do that. The way that we do that, and again, I don't wanna go too far off the deep end here, but that's through machine learning. So in a machine learning model, you have something called the label. The label is effectively the output. It's like a linear regression. And the dependent variable is in a machine learning algorithm is that label. The label for us is what we call winnability. So we start across all those 3 million keywords that we're looking at every day and try to understand what is your winnability for your given product, and we do this at what we call the child SKU or child ASIN level. What is your winnability by individual keyword? So if you go to the next slide, I'll give you an example. We represent a pretty cool running sock company called Features. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but if you're a runner, Features has awesome, awesome products. So, you know, if Features wants to show up, one of their new product categories outside of running are no-show socks. If they wanted to show up at no-show socks, they're going to be competing against Nike, against Reebok, against a bunch of other sock companies. And they actually could spend and in theory kind of waste a bunch of money by trying to bid on that given keyword on Amazon. We have this concept called laddered destiny, which you climb the ladder toward your destiny. And if we truly believe because of the price point, because of the search term relevancy, because of the number of reviews, because of the quality of the reviews that Features might have, that they have potential destiny at no show, we're gonna start more at the long tail and start to look in areas like here. Maybe you need a rank on no-show athletic. Maybe that's like the best ROI keyword you could bid on right now. And then eventually, as you kind of build ranking on that given keyword, you could start to migrate to other types of keywords that ultimately get you to that destiny. This is the secret sauce. Like, this is why we've been able to grow brands from 3 million to 24 million or 17 million to 170 million. We have done this time and time again with brands, and the reason why is because of this approach. If you go to the next slide, this is an important kind of principle, and again, I don't want to geek out too much here, but sometimes if you work with like an ad agency or something like that, their goal is to get you impressions. Their goal is to get you clicks. Now, we just talked about that, though. All clicks are not kind of created equal. The best clicks you can get for your product are those that actually build organic revenue for you over time, that build authority for you over time. They turn into mini annuities, basically, of clicks and of revenue that, you know, our goal with brands is like, hey, don't just spend ads on stuff you'll never ultimately kind of rank for. Spend on this red line. Spend up front to be able to get your day in the sun. And as the machine kind of predicts that you will gain authority and ranking, you will. And that just turns into revenue over time. And for many, I mean, again, for even like, let's go back to this air fryer example. You might in your head kind of think there are probably only 25 keywords that matter. It's like air fryer, black air fryer, Newell air fryer. Like, you know, there, most people can't really comprehend it. Once we run these through the data, there are generally upwards of 1,100 keywords that matter in any given product. So the idea that you would actually spend money on 5 or 6 keywords is a little bit asinine to us, and it's very hard for like our human brains to look at it, but for machines, super easy. And so this is kind of what we do over time. All right, there's three more competencies I wanted to just focus on, and then we can open up to if there are any questions here. The next one is content. So that pillar I talked about traffic and I geeked out on traffic, okay, this is where you get a little bit of a, you know, left brain reprieve and the right brain will kind of take over here. Content matters. If you have the same amount of traffic but you double your conversion rate of that traffic, of going to a listing, you will double your revenue. So we focus a lot on improving the experience that a customer has when they go to a product listing. Now the crazy thing is, you probably are aware of this as well, most of your shopping actually takes place, I think I put it away, on a small device called your phone. And one of the things we know from talking to Amazon, we're one of Amazon's largest sellers. There are actually 5 million third-party sellers on Amazon. We are in the top 3 from all revenue. So we have a great relationship with them. And they've shared with us that very few of customers actually go through and read the bullets and everything low in a listing. But 90% of all people who make a purchase look at every single image in that listing. So this becomes a very important competency to have, is how are you being represented in your images, in your video, and then certainly in other areas, especially like your reviews. So this is an example of a brand that we represent called Owlet. And you can see the difference, right? Like, we could just do a picture of the sock. This is ultimately, I don't know if you've ever heard of Owlet, but this is what they sell. This little baby sock that monitors key, you know, indicators of the baby's health, right? It can measure blood oxygenation, it can measure temperature, it can measure the pulse. And so, you know, you could actually just, most Amazon listings would just have some massive picture without on a white background of that sock. What we're doing here is bringing this to life. We're actively anticipating what questions a customer or a mother is having. And we're actually scraping all the reviews and all the questions on that listing, which is ultimately hundreds of reviews, and doing sentiment analysis across all of those pieces to understand what do people care about, right? Accurate readings. There's a quote here from an actual mother here, right? What you can actually look at. So this, we've got these competencies built in-house of art directors, of product photographers, of videographers, of 3D modeling artists as well. It's a very critical part to accelerating the brand. Worked with these guys as well.
We do, yeah. So Owlet's one of our partners as well. And so we work on the direct-to-consumer side. So when they wanted to launch DTC, going out of just retail or Amazon, we created a site for them, a direct-to-consumer site, and renderings and animations that really brought their products to life. And the conversion from before and after was just, it was awesome to see the growth.
Love it.
Hi, I'm Kurt Workman, co-founder and CEO at Owlet. Becoming a parent is the biggest change that we go through in life. And Owlet bridges that gap by empowering parents with the tools and the information they need to keep their baby safe and healthy at home.
We've seen some significant changes of this transition from traditional brick and mortar to a more e-commerce platform.
We really had to adapt quickly and make sure that you could tell that same story that you would get at retail, but do it through a digital channel.
Amazon is an example. What started out as a smaller channel for us is now the number one channel for the business.
And as we've grown our business, it's been important for us to find good partners to help us navigate the dynamic space of e-commerce. So we've really come to appreciate and understand the value of strong partners like Pattern.
We're a global organization that's helping countries around the world. So partnering with someone like Pattern, an e-commerce accelerator, really helps us reach every single one of those parents, where they are, where they're gonna find our products that are truly gonna help them in their lives.
Pattern, they understand the marketplace, they understand how to move product, and we wanted to work with somebody that had that experience.
So it's allowed us to focus on what we're great at and leverage the capabilities and skills to accelerate our growth online. And having partners that help us navigate the complexities while focusing on the global reach is just an incredible opportunity.
That's just an example of creative work we've done from everything from Owlet to PopSocket. So it's really how do you convey your message? And you got to remember, like, this is not a retail environment. The person can't go touch it. They can't play with it. They can't pick it up and kind of get a sense for it in the retail environment. It's really only this two-dimensional world. And so how do you bring this via color, via information, via somewhat of an immersive experience to improve that conversion rate? And again, double the conversion rate, you double the revenue. So these two other competencies are really critical. Once you nail the insights, the traffic, the conversion, another big piece is brand protection. And you know, if you look at this, this includes price monitoring, brand control, removing unauthorized sellers, controlling the buy box, implementing or enforcing a MAP policy, a minimum advertised price policy. There are so many brands we work with. Sorry, I'm getting emotional. I'm just kidding. But, oh my gosh, they just have such great products, great pricing, and then it's like this race to wholesale. Amazon is their fastest growing channel, but it's almost like it's tumor. It's actually ruining the rest of their business because price is getting eroded, and they don't even know, and once they figure it out, it's just too late. So understanding how to figure this out, this is an example of Tommy Copper. This is a compression sleeve. Look at how much their price eroded before they were coming to work with us, and it's almost like resuscitation at this point to try to get it back up. They've over-distributed, they've gotten upside down with unauthorized sellers, then you got counterfeit, and now people aren't even willing, like they'll go into the, wherever this is being stored, at Dick's or Shields or Cabela's or something like that, they'll pick up their phone and be like, oh wait, why would I buy it here? I can just walk out and have it delivered tomorrow for like half or a tenth of the price. And so this is what we are passionate about, is we're experts, we've done it for Google, we've done it for Panasonic. Google came to us and they said, you will never fix this problem. We have Bay Area attorneys that are working on this all the time. And lo and behold, 6 months later, we were able to remove 8 out of their top 10 thorniest sellers. So we work with one of the best law firms in the country to do this, and it's incredibly important competency. Okay, the last competency you have to require is literally getting boxes into the hands of customers. This is ultimately, generally, the most expensive part of e-commerce is that delivery and fulfillment. So it's the returns, the forecasting, these third-party networks, cross-docking, getting it into the hands of the marketplace, you know, logistics provider, or ultimately into the hand of the customer. So just to give you an example of how data kind of plays into this, if you go to the next slide, this is fascinating. So Amazon, but this same principle would apply to Target or to Walmart Plus or any other e-commerce channel, your own D2C. They have these different like storage tiers or shipping tiers. And what we've done through, again, machine learning and data science, we've basically plugged all of those dimensions, weights, and sizes into our platform. Then we scan all the products of a customer anytime we bring them in and help them understand, hey, if your product is currently 25 by 25, but to be able to ship in the next, you know, smallest container, you need to shave off a quarter of an inch or an inch on one side of this to get down to the next tier. And we've done this successfully for brands. One of the brands, again, that was just an example that we did this for, they literally had to shave off 0.2 inches off of that package size. And that's what they actually already had that footprint, but they just changed the box that they were shipping it in. It would save them over $60,000 a month. So this is real money, it's real innovation, and it's a competency that you absolutely have to have in order to take to the next level. And another example is Yogi Tea. You have to be able to bundle, you have to create virtual bundles. They were shipping all these different teas in 6 boxes to us, all the same flavor, and we were like, people don't always want to buy the same flavor of tea, sometimes they want a variety pack. So that's exactly what we did. We did a custom box for them. We now break down those pallets, we put them all back together, we ship them in, and this is their most popular product. So it's a real innovation on that front. I don't know if we threw the last accelerator video in here or not.
I don't think so.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so I think that's it. I mean, you've got these 5 competencies on creating the brand. You've got 5 competencies required to accelerate the brand, and clearly more competencies. But that is the playbook for how to create these unicorn brands. And again, we've done it time and time again, and it's what we're passionate about. It's what gets us out of our, you know, bed every morning. So I don't know. We'd love to take any other questions. I mean, this is the last thing we want to show here.
That's it. It's a successful landing.
Landed.
You got to create and accelerate. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Thank you so much, you guys.
Here it is.
Deep within our DNA
was
the desire to go faster. Born from an obsession with data, we uncover patterns in consumer behavior that are invisible to others. Taking your e-commerce strategy from ordinary to extraordinary. What pushes us ahead of the pack? A fanatical drive to see our partners win. Patterns e-commerce acceleration platform is the industry's first full-scale e-commerce solution for any market in any country. Arming you with the technology and services to grow faster, protect your brand, and sell globally.
Welcome to Hong Kong.
With our platform, yesterday's limits become today's triumphs. Automated marketing tools drive traffic. Market insights spotlight the full competitive landscape. Real-time monitoring upholds brand integrity. Passionate creatives tell your story. And logistics data keeps your product in stock and customers hungry for more. At Tata, we were born to run. To break barriers, to push limits, to accelerate.
Very cool. Thanks.
Well, that was...
Thanks, y'all.
That was a lot of information. I think it was put in a... No, I think I was put in a... organization that you could understand, but it was a lot of ground covered. So I'm sure people have some questions about the whole thing.
All right, there we go, right there.
I think we're supposed to chuck this.
Yeah,
up.
You want to throw it? Let's see. Microphone right here. Woo, nice catch.
Oh, wow.
Hello?
Yep.
Do you mind going back to that chart that you had? I forget. It's keep going back. It's the one where revenue, ad spend.
Yeah.
Or I think it was that one. Yeah.
Yep.
Can you? A couple questions about this. First thing you said that you guys, essentially, there's about 1,100 keywords per product that you could be focusing on.
Yeah.
Did you mention that you are focusing on just a few to start? You said 5.
I said it would be a mistake to only focus on 5 keywords. Yeah. What you want to focus on is where you have winnability, mathematically predictive winnability on a given keyword, and I can get in a whole bunch of nerdery, but basically we organize, we analyze all keywords you're ranking on and all of your competitors are ranking on. We put that in what's called a digital shelf, and then we basically arbitrage, hey, where are all your competitors ranking that you're not? And it generally is just a function of, mathematically, you should all be ranking on very similar keywords. If you're not, it just means your product has not had its day in the sun. So let's get it in front of customers with a little bit of advertising, juice that. And in theory, you should then stick. And if you do stick, there's no reason to advertise on it anymore. So we made, for context, 60 million bid changes last year across our 120 brands. We do this all algorithmically. We just have rules in there that says, if we think you have winnability on a keyword, rank or pay whatever, $1.27 up to $7-$8 a click. If you actually bid that $7, and we usually start at like $2, as soon as you get impressions, raise the bid. If you get impressions and then click, raise the bid. If you get impressions and clicks, but you don't get a purchase, lower the bid. So this is all happening dynamically. If we were to do 60 million bid changes at a minute apiece, we would have had to hire 500 people. So this is only scalable via technology and via this strategy that allows you to kind of win and stick. And if you get up to like, I think we have it usually set with most brands, if you start winning in the top four organically, turn off the advertising, AKA spend goes down, and go focus on one of those other 1,300 keywords that you have winnability for. So hopefully that makes sense.
So basically this chart is specifically related to keywords.
This is one keyword on one product.
Yeah, got it.
Spend,
got it.
Get out of there, start doing the next,
got it.
Or assuming that you rank, but then get out of there. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, come grab your Beast Bar afterward. Any other questions?
Nobody else has a question. I have a question. Looking at the breadth of what you've just presented, e-commerce has evolved very, very quickly. And it's kind of gone from an entrepreneur's game to an entrepreneur plus game. Mm-hmm. If I'm someone who's in e-commerce, I have a good product idea, I'm getting it manufactured, I'm kind of on the base of where you would eventually need to be. What are the steps I have to take? Because I don't think I'm going from making my widget and at a very small volume to what you guys are providing. What do I have to do to really get to the point where I can accelerate that product?
Well, first of all, you have to create a product that people are going to want, right? That they're going to love. So it needs to be designed well. It needs to be branded well. It needs to be positioned for the consumer that you're targeting. If that's all baked in, you've done that work, and you've grown the business sufficiently to then be able to jump on to to Pattern's platform, then they can accelerate. But you're right, it's not the smallest companies, right? It's usually, companies that are 5 million revenue plus?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, maybe even 10 million they're already doing, and then they want to get to 100 million.
Yeah.
Right? That's when you take that next step.
Mm-hmm.
And how, I had an interesting conversation with someone about AI and machine learning and such. And how, for a lot of companies, it's a jump to be able to employ those tools because they're not doing the analysis anymore. The machine is, it's the black box, and you have to have faith in what's coming out of the black box. Is that something you can help people do? Can you help them go from, I'm a pretty good retailer of this product that came in, but the technology is not something I'm comfortable with? You know, is that kind of part of your business?
Yeah, absolutely. And the short of it is, machine learning is actually not that hard. It's way overhyped. No one writes their own machine learning code. There are libraries of machine learning algorithms already built. So it's not really a black box. It's pretty straightforward. It's just math. But you absolutely do have to have a foundation, because if you have like 100 data points, there's no such thing as machine learning there, right? You have to have millions, literally, of data points to be able to ingest into the machine. And the more data and the more cycles you get in the machine learning, the better your output and predictability comes. So it's not actually that complicated, but you do have to know what you're doing and I guess have a lot of data at your disposal, which tends to benefit us because we have both.
Questions? Actually, can we have our box back?
No.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, he's got another question.
Go ahead, right in the center there. Here we go, mic's coming.
That's all right.
Thank you.
It's well guarded, well padded.
In regards to Mr. Beast, I actually am curious in regards to the chocolate bar itself. So, you've got Mr. Beast, you've got the chocolate supplier, and then you've got Patton. That's just off the top, that's three mouths to feed from a margin perspective. Uh-huh. So is Mr. Beast angling the chocolate bar at something that they're not necessarily going to be making money off of, but it's going to be promoting brand awareness? Is that really what the angle is there with the chocolate bar? Or is there enough margin between those three parties to where people are sufficiently fed?
Yeah, so of all the CPG brands that were, consumer packaged goods brands that were launching with Mr. Beast and the other creator network that he's part of with Knight Media, they are profitable businesses. So making sure that the margins are there so that this can they can deploy the product, deploy the brand, and actually grow the empire. So it's not just a marketing play. Yeah, the Tesla that he buys and gives away, that's a marketing play, right? Creating a product to then sell, that's not a marketing play. At least for him. For some it is, right? Some celebrities it is, but you see a lot of celebrities who it isn't, and they are creating significant brands in the world.
It's a good question, though, and just as a quick overview, like Pattern, we try to aim for about a 4% margin.
Okay.
So we try to stay very, very thin on what we do, and across a billion, 4% is still a big number, sure. But we think this can be a $100 billion business. Mm-hmm. And so we know that by staying super competitive, we know we're in a way kind of like a middleman. So our goal is just to automate as much by tech and then to stay as flat and as lean as possible and give as much margin back to the brands.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, cool. Thanks. Great. Any other questions? Yep.
Go on the cube.
And then you next, right in front. There we go. Well done.
You got some future Bears players out here.
So when you guys work with brands, as I understood it, you guys are working only on the Amazon, not DTC. You guys are only working on Amazon and all the marketplaces, right?
Yeah, we do actually run some DTC for a handful of brands, but I would say our forte is absolutely global marketplaces.
Mm-hmm. When you say you run some DTC, you mean just running advertising for them, or?
No, we actually run that. We build their DTC, Shopify backend or something like that. It's not like, the Hut Group or something like that, where we're running 50 brand DTCs. We probably run like 9.
Got it. And so basically you guys take on a brand and then start managing the responsibility of the brand is to essentially just ship you their product.
We buy their product on huge pallets and then they're like, make me awesome. Now, of course, they're pretty active and helping us understand the strategy and the omnichannel and preventing conflict and, branded keyword strategies. There's other pieces of it, but largely we try to help the brand go from what we call a player to a coach. We see so many brands, they don't have a ton of e-commerce. Most brands we work with, and these are big brands, you would all recognize their names, have 2-3 people dedicated to their e-commerce business. It's hard, and they're very smart people, but if they sleep, they're kind of dead. So it's we try to, they're filing tickets with Amazon, they're trying to manage agencies, they're figuring out how to do customer service and returns. Like it's a very hard life if you run e-commerce for a brand. We try to help them go elevate them to the coach position and give them an army of resources in data science and technology and advertising and customer service and SEO and creative to be able to kind of like accelerate that business. And it's a model that works pretty well.
And you mentioned that you guys are buying at wholesale. So I assume somewhere around, 50, 60% off from there.
Yeah, totally depends. But yeah, I would say that's largely in the
got it.
Model
and then your fee, I thought I heard you mention this. You mentioned you're taking like a 4% fee on the sales.
Yeah, so it's not a 4%. That's like the margin we end up looking for, and happy to chat with anyone after. But a high level, if you're going to sell on a marketplace, you owe 15% to Amazon.
Yeah.
You might owe anywhere from 8% to 40% to ship it to the customer. That's like basically your FBA fees. Mm-hmm. And then we basically generally target about a 15% gross margin, and then it costs us like 11 or 12% to run the business. So all that customer service, the advertising management, all that other stuff, we run it at 11% and take like a 4% margin, like an EBITDA basically is what our target EBITDA
is. Oh, right, because you guys are buying at wholesale anyways. It doesn't matter. We're not getting on. I got it.
Yeah. Okay. So sometimes we pay more than wholesale for brands. Sometimes we have to, buy less than wholesale, but it's not usually a function of our margin. It's a function of how heavy and hard and bulky it is to ship it.
Understood.
Cool. And then one more question right here. Great.
I have another question, if you don't mind.
I think we have to end. Why don't we just
ask after, please. But thanks for coming. We'll have some summaries of these on homepagenews.com, and they will be, this has been recorded, so it will be on the website sometime down the road if you want to revisit. Thank you very much.
Cool. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you all so much. Appreciate it.
Testing, 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 testing.